Once again, 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. We have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we come with perhaps cares and discouragements and problems that may distract us, that may keep us from focusing our attention on your word and your truth tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus our minds and our hearts on Holy Scripture. Help us to see the Bible tonight for what it truly is, inspired by you, that it is your very word. It is breathed out by you. And we pray that you would bless our studies, that we might grow in faith and confidence in the word of God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that I know a little bit more about pottery, I know that it's a process. I know that you have a beautiful piece of pottery. Maybe it's a cup or a bowl or something like that. And I now know a little bit better, because Dina works with pottery and creates pottery, how much work goes into making that piece, making that final product. It is a fairly long process that requires a number of different steps and things that must be done and done properly and well in order to get to the end result. And so we have been talking about something much more important than pottery, even though pottery is important, something much more important than pottery, and that is the inspiration of Scripture. And we've been focusing on the process or the method that God used to produce for us a supernatural book, an inspired book, the Bible, the Word of God. And so we continue to think tonight about the process or the method of inspiration. How did God get His Word from His mind through men and onto ink and paper that you hold in your lap tonight? That's what we are thinking about together. Last time we talked about dictation. And just to refresh your memory on that, dictation is when someone literally writes down the words at the mouth of another person. You can think of courtroom stenographer, for example, and what are they doing? They're typing feverishly all the words that they're hearing being spoken in the courtroom, whether it's by the judge or whoever. We looked at that and said, there are examples of dictation in the Bible. Moses was told to take dictation from the Lord. So was Jeremiah. So was John, the apostle, in the book of Revelation. So there are examples of that in Scripture. But we said that that doesn't give us an idea that encompasses the whole of the Bible. That the Bible is a varied and diverse book, and it gives us not the idea that the authors literally dictated every word from the mouth of God, but that God used a different method or a more diverse method than just dictation to produce His Word. And so what did we call that? Well, we borrowed this word from Louis Burkhoff, the Reformed theologian, and he called it organic inspiration. Organic just means natural. Now, by that, we don't mean that the Bible's merely a natural book. That's not what we're trying to say by that term. What are we trying to say? We're trying to say that God used natural means to produce a supernatural book, the Bible. What do we mean by that? We mean God used the human beings. He spoke through them. He wrote through them. He used their personalities. He used their education, their writing style, and all these sorts of things to produce Scripture. Okay, so that's where we stopped last time. And now we want to think about different aspects of this biblical idea of inspiration, or the method of inspiration that we're calling organic or natural. And the first aspect of it that we want to think about is dual authorship. Now, what is dual authorship? That means you have two authors, right? You have the human being, whether it's Moses or Peter or Paul or whoever the author of a particular book or portion of Scripture is, and then you have God, of course. So this is what we want to think about tonight. We want to think about dual authorship. And we want to look at a number of different examples in the Bible that demonstrate that you have human beings as the author of Scripture, but yet you have the primary author who is God, that God is writing the book through them. So this is what we're going to cover tonight. Before we jump into the details, we have the dual authorship of Scripture, right? We have human beings and we have God. Now, people tend to gravitate toward one or the other and sometimes struggle to keep them both together and say, I believe both. Who tends to look at the Bible in this way to the neglect of this? We say all sorts of people, Pastor Nick. Yes, all sorts of people do that. We might call them theological liberals. Okay, liberals, historically, liberals tend to emphasize this part of the Bible and say the Bible is a very human book. Now, what do they do with that? Well, then they want to say, well, that means because human beings make mistakes, make errors and things like that, that there must be errors and mistakes in the Bible. Why? Because they're emphasizing this. And what are they forgetting about? This. Right? Okay, so we don't want to do that. The Bible doesn't have any errors or mistakes or contradictions or anything like that. Why? Because there's a divine author. Is there a human author? Yes. And we'll see that tonight. Did Moses write the first five books of the Bible? Yes. Did Paul write Romans? Yes. Did John write Revelation? Yes. And we don't want to deny that, but we don't want to so emphasize that or understand that in a way where we end up with errors and mistakes in the Bible. Why? Because there is God, who is the primary divine author of the Bible that you hold in your lap tonight. Now, people like us, that people like to label conservatives, Bible believers, what do we sometimes do? Sometimes we gravitate toward this, and that's not bad, that's not wrong, but sometimes we do it in such a way that it excludes this. And we don't want to do that either. We need to believe both, that there is an aspect in which the human being is the author of the biblical book, but yet at the same time, God is the author through that human being. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Okay, so let's start with this part. Human beings as authors of Scripture. Well, we just read one example, right? 2 Peter 1, let's look at it again. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, didn't come from the head and heart of the individual prophet. That wasn't its source. What was its source? Its source was God. But at the same time, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So you see the human element there, right? The Holy Spirit used who? He used holy men of old. Right? They were the ones speaking, but it was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. Okay, so let's think about a few examples here. The Bible is authored by human beings. In a number of different ways, the Bible demonstrates that human beings authored Scripture. For example, think about how many of the New Testament books begin, particularly those written by the Apostle Paul. How do they start? For example, Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Who's the author? It's Paul. He's a human being, right? Paul is the author of the book of Ephesians and many other books of the New Testament. Also, there are times in the New Testament where the apostle Paul lets you know, hey, I'm writing the book. It's me. Okay? Galatians 6:11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. he says to the church at Galatia. Now, part of the reason for that is Paul used, and this is a big word, but an amanuensis at times. An amanuensis is like a scribe who takes dictation for someone else. So you have Paul speaking the words that he wants Tertius, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, to write, and you find his name at the end of the book of Romans. What was going on there? Well, he was taking dictation from Paul. And we'll look at an example of that here in just a moment. So you have human authorship of the Bible, okay? Let's use the back of the board again for a minute. The Bible uses certain phrases that indicate that we are dealing with a human author, okay? So let's look at a few examples. This first one is John 5:46. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Who wrote? Moses wrote. Okay, Mark 7:10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Who said? Moses said. Okay, so we've got Moses, what? He wrote, and Moses said. That indicates what? Moses, right? The human being. He wrote and he spoke. Different example, Luke 20:42. Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Who said? David said. Okay, what does that tell you? That tells you we're dealing with human authorship of these particular parts of the Bible. We also have examples of human beings involved in the composition or putting together the scriptural material. For example, Solomon collected Proverbs. Solomon collected these Proverbs and put them together in this orderly account that we have in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 12:9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many Proverbs. Who did that? Solomon did that. Did he do that under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit? Yes, but Solomon did it. So you see the human aspect of Solomon being involved there. We also looked at Luke. Remember the opening portion of the Gospel of Luke, where Luke tells us that what he's doing in the Gospel of Luke is taking what he knew, what he had researched and understood about the life of Christ, and he was compiling the story, compiling the narrative about the life of Jesus. And then we also mentioned a few moments ago, Romans 16:22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. So, well, wait a second, I thought Paul wrote Romans. Well, he did, but he used Tertius as his scribe, as his amanuensis. Okay, so we have human beings involved in the composition of Scripture and the authorship of Scripture. It's important that we recognize the tools and the instruments that God used. He used human beings to write His Word. And it's important that we not deny those tools. For example, when an author writes a book, what does he use? What is his instrument? At least, what did he used to use? He used to use a pen or a pencil to write the book. So, did the pen write the book? No, but it was the instrument used, or a musician. If a musician wants to produce a piece of music, he uses an instrument, whether it's a piano or a flute or a trumpet or whatever it may be, or a speaker. How does he get his words communicated to an audience? He uses a microphone, right? Now, all these illustrations aren't 100% accurate when it comes to the inspiration of Scripture. Why? Because we're not talking about pens or microphones or flutes. We're talking about human beings, right? And the human beings were not passive. They weren't just laying there and God took over their bodies and possessed them and forced them to write these certain things down. No, God used them and spoke through them, wrote through them, and used their personalities, used their education, etc., to produce His Word. Now, sometimes we might make a mistake and end up trying to be a little more biblical than the Bible itself, if that's possible. It's not. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say myself or another preacher or teacher might be preaching a passage of Scripture and say, Paul says, Moses said, Peter teaches. And someone might say, Pastor, I don't think you should talk like that, because it's not Paul says, it's God says. It's not Peter says or Moses writes, it's what God says. Is that true? Yes, it's true that God said it, but He said it through whom? Through Paul, through Peter, Moses, or whoever the author of Scripture may be. You see what's happened there. Someone has taken a biblical truth, God is the ultimate author of Scripture, and they've used it to deny another biblical truth. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. Sometimes that's our temptation. We latch on to one idea in Scripture, and we end up denying another idea in Scripture. Where did we get this idea that Moses wrote, Moses said, or David wrote? Where did we get that idea from? Did I invent that? Did the liberals invent that? No, they didn't. It came from where? We just read it. It came from the Bible itself. Okay. So it's important for us to recognize the human authorship of Scripture. Now, it's also important to say that in addition to God using these human beings to write His Word, He prepared them to do that. We believe that God is sovereign. He's in control. He's working by His providence throughout the history of the world and in particular people's lives. So, for example, did God prepare Moses to be the author of the first five books of the Bible? Yes, He did. Did God give Moses the background, education, vocabulary, experiences he needed to pen His Word? Yes. For example, Acts 7:22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds." Who arranged that? Well, God did. Was that part of Moses being prepared to write down Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? Yes, absolutely. God prepared Moses to be an author of His Word. What about the Apostle Paul? Did the Apostle Paul have an education prior to his conversion that God used in making him one of the authors of Scripture? Yes, he did. Paul himself says, Acts 22:3, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today." Who arranged for Paul, one of the principal, if not the principal author of the New Testament, to be taught by Gamaliel, the rabbi? Well, the Lord did. The Lord prepared all those things. The Lord did everything necessary in the life of these biblical authors to prepare them to really, truly write His Word. They were involved in it. But so much so that He was the ultimate author of what they wrote. But they were part of it. They were the instrument that God used. John MacArthur and Richard Mayhew, in their Systematic Theology, put it this way. Now, this is a little bit lengthy quotation, but I think they put it well, so listen to this. "Part of the answer to this complex question is simply because God had made Peter and Paul and the other writers of Scripture into the men that He wanted them to be by forming their very personalities. He controlled their heredity and their environments. He controlled their lives, all the while giving them freedom of choice and will. And when these men were exactly what He wanted them to be, He directed and controlled their free and willing choice of words so that they wrote down the very words of God. God made them into the kind of men whom he could use to express his truth. And then God literally selected the words out of their lives and their personalities, vocabularies, and emotions. The words were their words, but in reality, their lives had been so framed by God that they were God's words. I think that's well said. What are we trying to say there? We're saying God used human beings really, truly, so much so that we can say Moses wrote it, Moses said it, but as we'll see in a moment, we can also say God said it and God wrote it. Okay, so we've talked about the human aspect. Now let's talk about the divine. Now this goes without saying, I'm preaching to the choir here, that you know that God is the ultimate author of Scripture. We have seen that in multiple passages of Scripture already. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. What is its ultimate source? Where did it come from? It came from God. He is the principal and primary author of the Bible. 2 Peter that we just read in the opening scripture tonight. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. R.C. Sproul puts it this way. Thus what Scripture says, God says. Its authority is His authority, for He is its ultimate author. You do have human beings. They are used. They can rightly be called the authors of Scripture. Paul wrote Romans. Moses wrote Genesis. But ultimately, the primary and ultimate author is God Himself. So, now what we want to do is look at some examples of the interaction between these two things. We've got human beings writing the Bible, but we've got God as the primary author, okay? So get your fingers and your Bible ready, and let's look at some examples together. Okay, let's start in Psalm 95. Psalm 95. And let's start by identifying who the author of Psalm 95 is. Psalm 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Who's the author here? Is it a human being? Yes, it is. It's a human being. Verse 7, For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Okay, so there you have Psalm 95, written by a human being. And now what we want to do is turn to the New Testament and see who the New Testament says is speaking in Psalm 95, okay? So now let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Okay, let's begin in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 3. But Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end, Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works, 40 years. What is he doing? What's the author of Hebrews doing there? He's quoting Psalm 95, right? But look at verse 7 again. Wherefore, as the who says? The Holy Spirit says. So what the human author in Psalm 95 said is what the Holy Spirit says. We say, well, which one is it? It's both. The human author, be it David or whoever it was of Psalm 95, the New Testament looks back on it and it says, that's what the Holy Spirit said. Okay, it's example number one. Example number two, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. I will back up to verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay, now this could either A, be Adam speaking in verse 24, or it could simply be Moses. Either way, we've got a human being, right? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay, so now go to Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, and we'll begin at verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause, or to divorce his wife? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Who was it that made them at the beginning, male and female? God, right? God did. Verse 5, and said, who said? God said. The same one who made them male and female in the beginning. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. But I thought that was either Adam or Moses speaking in the Old Testament. Well, yes, it was. But because of inspiration, God said it. God spoke it. Okay, you see that? You see the human author in the Old Testament speaking or writing, and then the New Testament looking back on that and saying, that's what the Holy Spirit says. That's what God Himself says. Okay, now let's look at another example. This one is Romans, Romans 10. Romans 10. We'll just look at one half of this one. And I'll cite the other part for you, Romans 10. This is like sending it the other direction, okay? Romans 10, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Okay? So Paul says, Moses said this. But if you turn to the Old Testament, the quotation is from Deuteronomy 32:21. And guess who's speaking in Deuteronomy 32:21? God Himself is speaking there. So you see how it is almost somewhat interchangeable here. What the human being says is what God says. What God says can also be attributed to the human being. Why is that? Inspiration, right? That's on the other side of the board, but inspiration, the divine inspiration of Scripture. All right, well, one more example. Many times in the Bible, particularly with the prophets, God is said to have spoken by the what? By the mouth. mouth. By the mouth of the prophets. For example, I'll give these to you. You don't have to turn. Luke 1:70. As he spoke, that is the Lord, by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. Acts 1:16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas. Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? How did God speak? He spoke by the mouth of David, or the prophet, or whoever it may have been. Okay, so here you have the human prophet. It's Lizzie's picture. Good job, Lizzie. Okay? And you have God who wants to say something to the people. Okay, so we're going to speak to the people. How's God going to do it? He's going to do it through the mouth of the prophet. He's going to do it through the human being. Right? But the end result is what? Who says? Just a human being? Oh, it's just his opinion? Oh, it's just what he thinks? No. It's what God says. It's thus saith the Lord. But it's through the human instrument. Okay. Now we have one more example to look at, but I'm out of time. So we'll save this one to next time. And we'll begin next time by looking at the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah provides a wonderful illustration of this whole thing in which God uses a human being to speak or to write his very word.